Hello and welcome back to the Retail Takeover of Real Estate Insights with me, Guy Ruddle.
And me, Tiffany Luckett. This is our fourth episode, and this time we're going to the heart of the fashion world and looking deeply at women's wear.
And we're going to be talking to two retailers who we think are particularly well placed to deal with the challenges that the fashion industry is facing at the moment. Because Tiffany, you know, there are plenty of challenges around, aren't there, for fashion retailers?
Well, I think the last 2 years has been particularly challenging. It's been challenging for many brands, but fashion in particular, how do you sell someone a dress when they're not leaving their house? And I think that was a big issue for retailers. However, as we move forward from the pandemic, there's a lot of people that are going out and buying lots of clothes, but there are still a lot of headwinds. For example, we've got massive headwinds when it comes to supply chain problems, and we've also got the consumer becoming way more aware of the environmental impact of fashion.
Yeah, and it's that sort of environmental impact, that sort of sustainability piece, which perhaps plays towards the people we're talking to today. Brands that are sort of less fast fashion and more longevity, timelessness, perhaps lasting quality might be the ones that are going to thrive right now. And as I think seems to be becoming a bit of a habit of ours, we're going to talk to two brands, one well-established that's been doing the timeless longevity thing for ages, and a newer kid on the block who's doing it now. The more established one is Jigsaw, which was founded in 1970. It's been a sort of familiar presence on our high street since then. Beth Butterwick became its boss at the beginning of 2020. And Beth's with us now. Beth, thank you very much for being here.
Guy and Tiffany, great to be on the podcast and talking all things retail, my absolute passion.
It's a pleasure to have you. And the other one that we're going to speak to is Rixo, which was founded in 2015 by Henrietta Rix and Orla McCluskey. They've gone from literally selling clothes from their flat to actually now in 2022, turning over in excess of £15 million. And Henrietta Rix is joining us here now.
Hi there. Thanks so much for having me. Excited to talk to you today.
Great. As I was just saying, we're sort of falling into a habit of having an established brand and a newer brand, and everyone's sort of learning from each other on this thing. Can we start with you, perhaps, Beth? You went to Jigsaw at an interesting time a couple of years ago, a sort of bit of retrenchment time, I guess. What is it about the brand and the company that made you want to be there?
Well, it's really interesting, actually, because if you reflect on the brand I was at before, Karen Millen, there's something about quality and sustainability that are really important to me. And when I was asked to go and support on the Jigsaw business at the beginning, I leapt at the opportunity. And part of it was emotional, because when I was a student growing up in London at university, Jigsaw was my first, they used to call it Saturday sales girl, my first job. Oh, and wow. So I've had a long-standing love affair with this amazing brand and its heritage. So it just felt a shoo-in for me, a wonderful, wonderful opportunity.
And just honing in on that heritage, tell us a little bit about how the brand kind of came to be, and appreciate that was quite a long time ago before your reign at the helm.
No, absolutely. It's a wonderful story. And John, actually, the founder, is still involved as a shareholder in the business. So he founded the business just over 50 years ago. And he was one of the first that worked on the principle of bringing elevated design to the British High Street. And he was inspired by trips to Japan. If you remember back at that time, designers such as Yohji Yamamoto and Comme des Garçons, Issey Miyake. And he bought this concept, this Japanese concept of beautiful quality design with sort of an artistic twist to the British High Street. And in those days, you either had highly elevated luxury or you had high street staples like BHS and Marks and Spencer and Chelsea Girl, which is now River Island. So he was the first, along with Karen Millen, really, to sort of bring this, you can have it for luxury, but more at premium prices. The other thing is that his view was that Jigsaw's not about fashion, it's about style, and style is permanent. So when he opened his first store in Hampstead in 1970, he wants to create an environment that really talked to that beautiful aspirational design at affordable prices. It's a wonderful heritage and legacy to make relevant for the next 50 years, and that's what we're doing.
And Henrietta, I can almost imagine that the same principle is true for you guys, albeit that you guys started around 7 years ago now, in that a lot of people will buy your products and hopefully keep them in their wardrobes to wear time and time again. Can you tell us a little bit about the ethos of your brand and why you started Rixo?
Yeah, absolutely. I think so when Ola and I met at university, and we were really struggling ourselves to find something that we wanted to wear at the weekend. And I think it was a real Zara boom about 11, 10 years ago when we were first at university. And we couldn't find gorgeous, vintage-inspired, elevated pieces that were really good quality for the price point we wanted to pay. So we felt like the contemporary market was actually really lacking in relevant pieces that were fashion-led. If you went over to Australia, there was a big contemporary market there. So when we were looking around just department stores, really, like Liberty, Selfridges, there was no contemporary floor. And if it was a contemporary floor, it was diffusion line. So it was McHugh by Alexander McQueen, just basically T-shirts with a printed logo on that you were paying £300-400 for. And we were going to vintage fairs every weekend and paying £70 and getting gorgeous bias cut silk printed dresses for nothing. And then our friends loved the way we were styling them and wearing them. And I think we loved the hunt and the rummaging and finding vintage dresses, but a lot of customers don't and a lot of our friends didn't. So we thought there's a real gap in the market here. Hence thinking, do you know what, let's quit our jobs and just go for it. And we did, and we've never really looked back. And I think finding that gap is key.
I love hearing stories about entrepreneurs at that moment when they're, as you say, you know, let's go for it, quit our jobs and go for it. Was it exciting or was it scary or was it both?
I think we're both very passionate and determined people. So as soon as we were going to put it, I mean, as small as put it on our own personal Instagrams and our personal Facebooks and tell all our friends what we were doing, I think that was the kind of moment where we were like, oh my God, how embarrassing if this fails. And I just can't fail at things in life. So I was like, if I'm putting it out there and all my friends and my family know, there's no plan B. Everyone says, oh, what was your plan B? I was like, we're going for this, plan A all the way. And we haven't really looked back. So it's daunting, but there's never a right time to do something. And I think Ola and I quite early on thought, we don't have boyfriends, we don't have mortgages, we don't have babies. We didn't have that much experience. But I think in a way, thinking outside the box is we didn't know what we didn't know. So we just went for it. So we laughed back at a lot of the things we did because we did a lot of things the wrong way and the hard way and the long way.
And both of you have, I mean, from an outsider's perspective, probably similar customers, but it would be interesting to see what you think or who you think your key customers are and who you're trying to resonate with.
I think probably if I speak to Jigsaw, we've got a Heartland customer who's been shopping with the brand since the 90s. So she's in her sort of mid 50s. And then we've got daughters that shop with mothers. But I think they're all the generations, because we're not a fashion business and we offer beautiful, timeless quality pieces. I think it's more about the attitude that ties all our age groups together. How they look is really important to them, and they want to be stylish and modern and relevant. They definitely really focused on quality. So they're sort of, especially now with sustainability, their buy less, buy better mantra is very important, and therefore believe investing in pieces that last, that you can update every season. And they want to shop in beautiful environments as well. So that's really, it's this attitude that ties the age group of our customers together.
And I think just on the Rixo customer, she's definitely someone that wants something a bit unique that she can't find anywhere else, so it can't be replicated. I think with Rixo and the prints that we have, they're all hand-sketched or hand-drawn, so there's that speciality piece to it. So I think the Rixo customer comes away from a Rixo store or the website, wherever they're shopping, and feels like they've got something special and they're going to feel the best version of themselves in it. We get emails all the time saying, I got 5 compliments walking down the street and that hasn't happened in 20 years. Or my husband first gave me a compliment and I haven't had that since we were engaged. So I think it's that.
Oh dear, that's a bit depressing, isn't it? They're definitely not married to me.
First of all, who's your husband? I think it's that, even when I'm in the stores and I pop in, like even last week, a customer's coming in to get something really special to mark a special occasion, but then it's educating that customer that actually you can wear that to work next week, or you can wear it, yeah, great, wear it to Wimbledon, but then also, have you got a family Sunday brunch that you're going to? So I think it's really about a customer that can get her lifestyle out of a dress as well. An age group as well, like, God, it was only yesterday I got emailed the most beautiful customer. She's 87, wearing our Rixo Gwen dress, and she looks amazing. And my best friend, who's 29, wears the exact same dress. So I think there's testament in that the fit and the cut is beautiful for a woman's body, and something about it being designed by a woman for a woman is really important. Our ethos is basically to make our customer feel the best version of themselves when they put Rixo on, and for us to do the hard work for that woman.
Should we talk about stores and the importance of stores to both of you? Beth, I suppose your story as a business, Jigsaw's been grown a lot over many years, then, you know, sort of retrenched a bit, and you've been brought in to deal with a few issues that it had, and you're now back to what, sort of 40 plus, just over 40 stores, all in the UK. Is that the very heart of the business, and will it stay the very heart of the business?
I think if you are, if you pivot to be a customer-facing business, which is what we've worked really hard on the last few years, I think it's thinking about always what your customer wants. And listen, our customer actually did adopt to shopping online fairly quickly during the pandemic. And when stores reopened last year, we saw a massive halo effect around those reopenings, but she was still shopping online. So for me, it's all about channel convergence and making it easy and frictionless for her. But we are a brand where you have to touch and feel the product, and particularly, you know, we really train our style advisors. So going into a Jigsaw shop is very special. So stores will be always be very important to us. So we've got 41 at the moment. We, as you said, we had 76. We've closed a few. Not surprisingly, our shops that work best are in local market towns or regional centres. So the Blackheaths, the Chiswicks, the Northcote Roads, the, you know, where people, communities shop locally. So absolutely, shops are very, very important part of the Jigsaw immersion experience.
And Henrietta, you mentioned that you were just in one of your stores the other day and speaking to customers. How does that influence how the brand works?
I think it's really, Rixo is a very personal brand. And I think even if customers don't know Ola and I personally, they feel like they do. So they feel like I could, if I go into the store today, I might actually bump into one of the girls. And even just seeing them trying it on and then one of us explaining everything, because we've literally done everything ourselves, like every single department we've gone through. So we know exactly why that dress is there, where we got inspired from, or what it should be styled with, or how we'd style it on a photo shoot. And the customer loves that. They lap it up. And then the friend that's gone with them is like, oh, actually, I'm going to try something on. And what do you recommend for my body shape? So I think it's really key. And the stores, I mean, it was as basic as we used to empty our living room. And then when we opened a store and put our carpets in, our furniture, everything in. So basically when people were coming in, they were walking into basically our Rixo living room. And then our flatmates would come home and be like, oh my God, where's all the furniture gone? And we'd be like, oh, sorry, we've opened a pop-up in Carnaby Street and it's there for 6 months. So I think people do have that attachment and they've told their friends. So it's very much word of mouth and we've grown organically. We're now doing a big piece because we think stores are really key and really important, especially because Rixo is such, I think it's got a really strong DNA. Like when you see a Rixo dress, you know it's a Rixo dress. And I think people love coming into the store and seeing the antique furniture and random bits of things that we found from flea markets and maybe artist work that's inspired us. So we're doing a big brand piece internally at the moment for when we launch. We want to launch a flagship next year that's like a lot bigger than anything we've done. Currently our stores are about 1,000 square foot, but something that's 3,000 to 5,000 square foot, and it's really like the home of Rixo. So you have the Rixo living room, you have like a little mini coffee shop, something that people just want to come. And it's not about basically we want to take more percentage of your wallet, it's about you coming and being immersed. And say if you don't buy something that day, that's fine, because you might buy something online in 6 months time. So it's really kind of analyzing and being clever about the length that you have that customer with and building that loyalty so they really understand the brand and why we do things. Because we don't have end of season sales, we don't churn out product, we don't have investors saying you've got to hit this margin and you've got to hit this revenue growth.
And that immersive nature of a store that you've just kind of talked about, is that something you see working as a big part of your flagship stores and stores going forward? Is that what you see for the future of retail in specifics?
Definitely. I think you've got to make it special for someone. So they want to come in and put the bag down and actually spend maybe an hour or two if they've got it there. So I think we're broadening our ranges. So we have bridal as well. And it's about curtaining off a section so the woman feels special when she comes into bridal and has a glass of champagne or actually if she wants to bring a mum with her and a mum can then go and shop in the store afterwards. So having that really tailored experience, I think, is key. And just doing fun things like having artwork on the wall that you can potentially buy. It's artwork that inspires Ola and I, or actually the table, there's coffee table books that Ola and I love, and it's very personal to the brand that I don't think you can replicate anywhere else.
Beth may be able to help you answer this question, Henrietta, but I can absolutely see how that personal feel. I love that story about, you know, the carpet and furniture of your flat ending up in the store and everything. I just wonder how you replicate that and the experiential thing as you grow from two stores to a flagship store and, I don't know, 10, 15, 20, 30 stores. Can you keep that going, or does it automatically change?
Well, it's really interesting, actually, because we are, we call our shops our eco boutiques, because we're reinventing them. So we're really conscious of the environment and the local community. So we had 76 shops. John was the most incredible collector of beautiful furniture, Nigel Coates chairs. We're repurposing all the furniture from our shops that we've closed all around the world back to our warehouse here, and we're reopening our stores with jigsaw furniture. So it's a bit like moving the furniture around in your house and creating a new environment. And where we don't have furniture, we work very much with local collectors. So we're working with Anna Unwin, who sources, again, beautiful eco furniture. In some stores, we're working with a dried flower collector, or wooden vases that are made from driftwood on the beach, so that we're looking at LED lighting, so it's sustainable. So I think you can do that if to Henrietta's point, you go and collect, you know, you're buying local pieces, vintage pieces, and you're making every single store unique.
It's something, the personality, we've got a plan on how to do it. I think we wouldn't go and open 20 stores next year, but 5 feel manageable, so we can go to flea markets, collect more stuff, and make sure, I think, because we're not founders where we don't have an actual job title as well within the business. Like, I'm brand director, Ola's design director. We are in the business 24/7, so we'd be the ones signing absolutely everything off, making sure it feels like the Rixo DNA. So that doesn't worry me. It's a challenge I'm excited to take on.
Do you have a different type of customer that comes into your store versus the type of customer that will buy online? How is that different?
They are different. I do think they are. Like, some customers will just buy online, and then vice versa. Some customers, like our local Kings Road customer, will just buy in the store, and she loves seeing every week. She'll pop in. She might not buy every week, but she'll pop in and see things. I think as well, we have an international customer in Marlborough and High Street. We have more of a local customer in Kings Road. So you really do, when you open stores, get to know the clientele quite quickly. And we have reports every day from our store managers that tell us, literally, they go into so much detail about who's come in, what they've bought, why they're buying it. And then vice versa, our CX team online will tell us about why people are buying things and what they need. And it is a different customer. I think the online customer, they very much love their kind of routine, or their click and collect and buy the next day, and they want things quickly. Whereas I think the in-store customer actually wants to come and discover things and try things on and have a chat with whoever's in the store. So there is a different customer.
Beth, you're nodding.
I'm fully agreeing with everything Henrietta's saying. I mean, honestly, retail is detail, but you don't need to overthink it too much. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're a 15 plus million pound business or a 60 plus million pound business, which is what Jigsaw is. It's all about putting your business and your teams through the eyes of the customer, and knowing that there's a time to buy online. I mean, let's face it, we are customers ourselves. There's a time to buy online. It's convenient. It's quick. You know what you're getting done. And there's that whole treat yourself experience of going and having that one-to-one service and trying things on. So maybe with a glass of Prosecco. So I think, yeah, it's there's room for both. And actually, most of our customers are multi-channel customers as well. So they'll pick and choose channels depending on what their situation is, how time poor they are.
And it's a bit left field, but could you imagine growing your businesses both respectively if you didn't have a store element to it, if you couldn't have that direct interaction with your customers in real life?
I think it would be certainly for Jigsaw, because Jigsaw's always had stores and our customers know and love our stores, and it's all about the touching and feeling and the experience. I think it would be more difficult. You'd just be like any other brand.
Yeah, similar to Rixa, even though we've only been going for 7 years, but Ola and I, literally the month we launched, 2015 September, the month we launched online with a pop-up in Neal Street as well, and we were there every single day selling the dresses, meeting the customer. And I think the thing about, I think online customer feedback online is very much they tick a box and it's normally the first box at the top of the form because they can't be bothered reading the others or filling it out. Whereas when you're actually in a store, you get real, genuine feedback, and that can help you, or you can see it on, you can about the design, and then it's all constructive criticism. So I think that feedback and getting to know your customer face to face is key. So I think it really helps us learn quick and fast and then make improvements listening to the customer.
But, I mean, I think the other thing, picking up on what Henrietta was saying about, you know, we do all the work around fitting the garments and specking the fabric and sourcing the finest materials in the world. When you're in a store and you're having that one-to-one sales advisor experience, they tell those stories. You know, when someone tries something on, they could say, did you know that print, you know, has been hand cut by, you know, out here? Or did you know that that fabric is an incredible sort of three stretch Japanese fabric? It's really going to hold you in. So all these lovely product stories are actually part of the immersive brand reason for being. And that's why I think storytelling and the role of store is so important.
And sort of slightly away from that then to digital marketing and all that sort of stuff. It sort of all fits together a bit. I wonder whether you perhaps have different approaches to it, given that Henrietta, I imagine, I mean, I'm being a bit sort of glib here, but more of your customers are probably digital natives than Beth's customers are digital natives. Would that be fair? And do you think that...
I think Beth has a different, a bigger pool of customers to go from. But if you were to look at just the Rixo customer, though, it splits quite evenly. We've got an older customer than I think a lot of people think we do. Like, our customer would be pretty much 40 plus. Like, don't get me wrong, we have like really cool influencers that are Scandi influencers. They're from New York or Berlin. And then that's what you see on our Instagram. And digitally, you see all those young girls looking amazing in it. But the people that actually buy, our customers are a lot older than I think you'd think they were. And I think people see Ola and I and think, oh God, we were 23. I was 23 when I started the brand. I think people think our customer is us, but it's not really like my mum would be my customer, my auntie, or that woman who's 82. So it really is an even split.
I think the other thing is we're putting the customer down if we sort of age-fy them into different social media types. You know, our customer will do her research around brands and style, even though she's very independent, in several different ways. She'll talk to friends. She'll look at magazines, she'll follow socials, she'll see an advert, she'll read a magazine. And there's so much content out there now. She probably won't remember where she actually saw that Jigsaw dress that she's just got to buy or that tailoring piece. So I think the role of different digital assets, the role they play, is so wide and varied now. I'm just so glad it's not back to the old days when it was really expensive product-placed advertising and nothing else, because there's a social chat thing around Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest and TikTok. Yes, Jigsaw is doing TikTok. That's so immersive across all the age groups. That's what I love about it so much.
Can I just ask you guys, what is it about the King's Road that resonates so well with your brand? Beth, you've recently moved flagship locations and relocated on the King's Road and fit out a really beautiful new store. And Henrietta, you've been open for 2 years now, and I know from our conversations that store is trading phenomenally well.
Funny enough, I was out last night talking to someone in property, and I was talking about, I think, the return of the glory days to the King's Road. I mean, when I was, when I was growing up and I was in the holidays, you know, sort of like a teenager, the King's Road is where you hung out. You hung out with the punks, you hung out at the Great Gear Market. It was if you were into fashion, there was Boy, there was Vivian Westwood, there was Patrick Cox. It was a cool place to be. Fiorucci was there. And I really feel like it's returning again, actually. And I think, you know, we talked about local neighborhoods and Marylebone High Street being, I think, Henrietta, you mentioned Marylebone High Street being much more an international customer and King's Road being the local customer. And I remember going to the King's Road in lockdown, and all the pubs were full of local families that weren't going very far. I really do think the King's Road is returning to greatness again. Obviously, it's going through a lot of redevelopment, but I just think Chelsea and Bloom, the flower show, was just testament to the attraction it's got. And there's some really, really cool brands. And we've moved from Duke of York Square, where we had that very, very, very big store, the Chapel, further up to where we are in the Village now. We're in the home of other brands like Anthropologie and Zadig & Voltaire and M&M. But I'm very excited about the King's Road, and that's why it felt right to have our store there and put an investment into it, so it felt like a flagship store, because that's the quality of the customer that's visiting that location.
I think as well they're a very loyal customer, and they've known us and they've seen Brixo develop over the years, so I feel like they've been on the journey with us, and then they bring in their daughters or whoever else it is, and it feels like a real community feel when you go to the King's Road. I mean, me and Ola have always been obsessed with the King's Road, but I was in Dublin last week and two of the influencers were like, oh, I just can't wait to get to the King's Road, and it really surprised me. So I agree with Beth. I think it's got a lovely feel about it. Some great brands are coming there, like Soho Home being there. Our customer resonates with all these other brands that are there. And it's got a great community spirit, like you were saying, Chelsea and Bloom. I mean, the footfall during Chelsea and Bloom is bigger than it is at Christmas. So it's a brilliant road to be on.
So just to finish up, guys, I'd love to know what you guys are predicting for the future of your brand in the next 3 to 5 years. Where do you see it going? What's the future hold for Brixo?
I think for us, it's expanding what we do now. So our focus is very much within women's wear in that field, and really just making sure that we have the product there for the whole lifestyle and seasonless product as well. So in winter, she can come to us, she can layer, she can get her event wear and occasion dresses. So it's doing what we do now, but basically growing it and acquiring a bigger community. So I think it's really exciting. We're looking to open a flagship next year and then a couple more stores as well, go regional and also international. So I think retail for us is going to play a big part in our growth over the next 3 to 5 years.
I love that you said acquiring a bigger community instead of acquiring more customers. I just thought that is really interesting terminology. And Beth, what about you?
Well, I would say the same thing, actually. So acquiring a bigger community is very much part of what we're putting our efforts into. I think the story of Jigsaw and what it stands for will stand the test of time. Why? Because I think we're going to, you know, look into ourselves and think about quality over quantity and think about why we're doing things. And that whole craftsmanship and the effort that Jigsaw puts into makeup and fabric, we have an atelier here in the office, are things that will allow people to have Jigsaw product in their wardrobes for the next 25 years.
Well, guys, thank you so much. We cannot wait to see what you guys do in the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, and thanks for your time today. Some days work just isn't work. So it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you both.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, that was another good conversation, wasn't it, Tiffany? I really enjoyed that.
It was amazing. They're both really inspirational women. And I think it's so exciting to hear all about what their plans are for the future.
And so great to talk to people who think the store is really the heart of that future.
I think that's been a kind of general theme that we're seeing throughout this podcast, that actually these brands, albeit they might be reducing their footprint in some ways, but they do see the store as really important in their future. And then other brands are really expanding and really see the store as a way to speak to their customers in more avenues and more international locations as well as national locations.
Yeah. So there we are. That's 4 down. If you want to hear the 3 episodes that we've done before this one and you haven't heard it, then you can do so by subscribing to us using whichever podcast provider you normally use. In the meantime, thanks for listening and see you next time.
Bye, guys. Thank you for listening.